today we're going to talk about how to have victory in the name of Jesus and really what that means and how that applies to our life. You know, the enemy, the Bible says, the enemy of your soul and my soul says, the Bible says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. In other words, he wants to destroy your God potential. He wants to hold you back from what your creator has designed you to be. And if he can do anything to basically stalemate your faith in your creator and your great God, he will come at you. But with God's help and God's love and his power, we can begin to move forward in great, great victory. Oftentimes, life and circumstances tell us one thing, but God's word and who he is says another. And so we're going to claim victory today. We're going to be victorious in Christ Jesus, and we're no longer going to be victims. Come on. If you have your Bibles with you today, I'm going to invite you to turn it to the book of Judges, Judges chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at a passage here about a man named Gideon, who God spoke into his life, raised him up from what we would know as the bottom of thinking, and raised him up to do mighty things in the name of the Lord. And see, God wants to raise every single one of us up to do mighty things, to be mighty warriors, to be victorious for his name's sake while we're here in the earth. No matter whether you're a male or a female, no matter whether you're young or old, God's whole purpose in saving your life is to set you apart and make you into something great for his name's sake. Come on, somebody. In other words, he saves us, the Bible says, and calls us with a holy calling, a set apart calling. And tonight we're going to be announcing the new name that God has given our church. It's no longer based just on a geographical location where our church was birthed, a Barefoot Church. We're going to be announcing what we believe is the identity he has given us as a congregation and a church in the community where he has placed us. And we're going to be taking on that new name beginning tonight. I want to invite you out at 6 p.m. to worship with us and hang out with us. It's going to be an incredible night. We're going to make the announcement, and then we're going to seek to move forward in this new name. Again, we're not a new church. It's just we're getting kind of an addendum to our name to take on our identity, not based on geography, but based on who God has called us to be in the world. Judges chapter 6. We'll begin with verse 1, and the Bible says this. It says, the Israelites, that was God's set-apart people, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. In other words, God had rescued them from slavery, from bondage in Egypt. Their people had been there for over 400 years. God's mighty hand came to them, rescued them, brought them out of slavery. He took them through a wilderness, and eventually a man named Joshua led them into a land of provision and a land that was overflowing, the promised land, the Bible calls it, overflowing with milk and honey. It was a land of God's protection, God's provision, and God's hand was on them. God took them into that land. However, you know what? With the abundance of blessing, they become haughty or prideful in heart. And basically, they turn their hearts back towards themselves instead of depending fully on God. The Bible says that this was evil in the sight of God. You know, God created you to fully depend upon him, to be a dependent. Come on, somebody. Not to be independent, but to be dependent upon him as the creator. And he wants you to depend fully on him, and he wants to bless your life. Come on, somebody. He doesn't come to harm you. He comes to lift you up. But oftentimes, our heart becomes haughty or prideful. And we forget it's God doing the work in us and through us. And if we're not careful, you know, we'll move towards a direction that God never intended for his salvation to move us towards. And sometimes God has to get our stinking thinking, let's call it, back in order. And so God will allow things to come into our life. The Bible says these Israelites, they had basically gone away from God and they did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord handed them over, come on somebody, to the Midianites for 7 years. In other words, they had received God into their life, but because they started going in one direction, God says, okay, you want to go in that direction? I'll let you run that to the dead end street. And the Bible says, you know what? They hit a wall. 7 years, and now the Midianites were oppressing them. The Bible says the Midianites were cruel, so that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, the caves, and the strongholds. See, I want you to know the enemy of your soul can be very cruel. And the enemy of your soul is not the goodness of God. The enemy of your soul will begin to make you think about some things you see and begin to make you attracted to things that you may think are good. But what the enemy of your soul would do is take you down a street that he begins to put a lot of pressure on you. And then what we'll begin to do is like these Israelites, we'll begin to hide and we won't begin to step up and be who God has called us to be. The Bible says they found hiding places in mountains, caves, and strongholds. Eventually, the Bible says in verse 6, the Israelites, they cried out to the Lord for help. That's a good thing. They cried out to the Lord, to the Creator, for help. God, I need your help. I need you to step in and do something. God, I'm tired of hiding like the first man and the first woman did when the enemy came to them and lied to them and they stepped out of your will and they went and hid themselves behind some bushes and some fig trees. And God, you had to come and ask them where they were. And God, I need you to come to me. I need your help because I am tired of hiding and I want to be set free and I want to run the race of life that you have called me to run. And so they cried out for help. That's a good thing. And the Bible says, so God began to help them. He began to step in. Oftentimes the circumstances will get so overwhelming in our life that all we are left to do is cry out for God's help. And, you know, the Bible says something remarkable in Matthew in chapter 5. It says, blessed are those who are at the end of themselves, at the end of themselves, because theirs is the kingdom of God. Because when we get to the end of how we think it should be done, and we cry out to God, and we take on how he says it can be done, things begin to change. Blessed are those who are at the end of themselves, and theirs is the kingdom of God. In other words, now they can take on his nature and begin to move forward with the great things. God says, you know what? I know you feel defeated. And now that I've got your attention, let me remind you of who I am and who I desire you to become. And so God begins to speak to the Israelite people after they cried out for help. And he does it by coming to this one man named Gideon, and he begins to speak into his life. I want to kind of go through this for a minute because Gideon felt one way, but God said he was another way. And the reason I want us to understand this is because many of us feel one way, but God says you're another way. And I believe there's victory for your life today if you will stop being a victim and you'll take up the victory that God wants to give you through Christ Jesus in your life. And the Bible says it this way in Judges chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, Gideon, son of Joash, The Bible says he was threshing wheat at the bottom. Everybody say bottom. That means as low as you can get. The bottom of the wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. He was at the bottom and he was hiding things from the Midianites because he was afraid the Midianites were going to invade his life. The Bible says the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero. Now you may not feel like a mighty hero because Gideon didn't either. But God came to him and said, mighty warrior, mighty hero, man of victory, man who is going to overcome. He says, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. See, from the first gathering we get of God's engagement with the Israelite people after they cry out at this time to God, is God comes to this man named Gideon who felt afraid and he was hoarding and he was hiding things because of the fear that was in his life. I don't know about you, but for me, I've hoarded and hid some things before because I was afraid of what somebody or something was going to do to take that thing. And again, this is fear based on the enemy, not fear based on what God says. And here, Gideon is a fearful man. He felt afraid, but God says, no, you know what? Stop being fearful. You're a mighty hero. You're an overcomer, literally, is what Gideon means. You're an overcomer. And again, your name may not be Gideon today, but if you know Christ Jesus, your name may be Gidget, but you can be an overcomer. Come on, somebody. Stop being afraid. Gideon didn't only feel afraid, he also felt abandoned. Look what it says there in Judges 6:13. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Everybody ask you that. Why do bad things happen to such awesome and good people? Well, simply because, you know what? God allows things to happen so that we'll know his goodness. But Gideon asked this rightful question because he felt abandoned. He didn't feel like God was with him. And he goes on to ask this question, and where are, God, all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt, again, years and years ago? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. So here, Gideon doesn't only feel afraid. He's at the bottom of the threshing floor, hiding the grain, because he's afraid it's going to get taken. He also feels abandoned. Do you know how many people I have encounters with on a regular basis that feel abandoned by God? And it's because something happened in their life. A circumstance happened. Somebody said, I love you, and said, I do, at a marriage altar. And then all of a sudden, a person said, I don't anymore, and walked out on them. And the very image that person has of their creator is he is going to walk out on them like that other person did. And I'm here to declare to you today, God isn't the person who walked out on you. He is creator and he is good. And so many of us feel abandoned. Because you know what? Something happened to us when I was a little baby. And again, maybe it happened to you when you were a little baby. But God didn't abandon you. It was something that happened to you. It was a circumstance and it was a challenge in life. Because the Bible says we have all sinned. We have all missed the mark of God's glorious standard. And what that means is sometimes people do things to you and other times you do things to people. But God hasn't gone anywhere. He is still right in the middle of your life if you would so choose to change from being a victim to being victorious in Christ Jesus. Gideon felt afraid. Gideon felt abandoned. Gideon's a representation of all the people in that particular circumstance. The Bible says, goes on to say that Gideon also felt weak. Look what the scripture says. It says it this way in Judges 6, verse 14. Gideon, again, mouths back to God. God had already told him, you're a mighty warrior. But Gideon mouths back to God. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh. And I am the least in my entire family. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, I just haven't been given a chance? Because, you know what? Nobody's allowed me the opportunity to step in to my potential. Well, maybe a person hasn't allowed you to step into your potential. But I'm here to declare to you today, you don't have to depend on your tribe or your clan or your bloodline to step into your God potential. You need to understand that if you feel so weak and timid today, God wants to step in and not make your heart proud, but he wants to make you victorious and be all he has created you to be. And so it's not about, you know what, oftentimes the way we view ourselves from the world's point of view, it's taken the blinders off and beginning to view ourselves from God's point of view. And oftentimes we feel afraid, we feel abandoned, and we feel too weak to step up and be the person God's called us to be. And it all is based on what has happened in our life, oftentimes up to this point. And again, if that is you today, let God begin to speak into your heart, because victory with Jesus starts with repentance. With stopping. Victory starts with stopping. Say to your neighbor, you know what? You need to stop some things. Go ahead and tell them you need to stop some things. See, that's what repentance is. It's putting the brakes on from going in the wrong direction and turning around and turning your heart back to your Creator and say, God, I'm tired, sick and tired of going in the wrong direction, and I'm ready to walk in the right direction and follow you all the days of my life. That's repentance. I'm going to take on who you say I am. And I'm not going to keep walking in the direction of how all the other things begin to identify me in life. I'm going to take on fully of who you say I am. This is exactly what Gideon does to start the victory of becoming a mighty warrior. He repented. And I want to show it to you today. The Bible says it this way in Judges chapter 6, verses 25 through 27. It says, that night, the Lord said to Gideon, I need you to go ahead and take a second bull from your father's herd, the one that is 7 years old, and pull down your father's altar to Baal. In other words, your father and many of the other people have set up an altar to falsehood, to a false god. And they were into Baal worship. And Gideon, what I need you to do is I need you to go and pull your father's altar down. And by the way, I need you to go ahead and cut down the Asherah poles, the female god that your people is worshiping. and I need you that is standing beside it. Then I need you to build an altar to the Lord your God here on this hilltop sanctuary, laying the stones carefully. Sacrifice the bull and the burnt offerings on the altar, using it, come on, as fuel, the wood of the Asherah pole you cut down. The Bible says, so Gideon, he took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord had commanded, but he did it at night because he was afraid of the other members of his father's household and the people of the town. What's interesting here is God began to speak to Gideon's heart about worshiping idols and false gods that the culture had begun to worship. And ultimately, this was the reason the entire culture was underneath the oppressive hand of the Midianites. It's because they had turned their hearts away from God, and they had turned their hearts towards these false beliefs or these false understandings of who God was, and began to worship these empty idols. And again, you know, Gideon was a bit timid about tearing down these idols and turning his heart back towards God. In other words, he was a little bit afraid to step forward and say, you know what, God, I'm going to receive you as the sole God in my life. And he was afraid of what everybody else may think or do to him. So the Bible says he did it at night. But I think this is fascinating because though he had a little bit of faith in God was who he said he was and Gideon could become who God said he could be, at least he took a little small step of faith in the right direction. This is what repentance is. Some of you think repentance is simply, you know what, just making a public statement before lots of people that you've turned from one direction and you've turned towards another direction. And nothing wrong with making that public statement. But here, it's about Gideon's heart. It wasn't about an outward show to prove to the world of he belonged to God. It was about a heart that was turning away from falsehood and taking a step of faith. So he was timid of the culture around him towards the goodness of God. And so no matter how big that cultural step is or isn't, the question for us all is, have I begun to take victory in my life because I took a step of faith towards the one true God, the mighty creator, the hand of the living God, the hand of the Most High God, and I've denied the things of this world and said, God, I am going to turn towards you and I'm going to let you speak into my heart from this point forward. Gideon didn't stand up with a microphone and sing about Jesus, but he took a step towards the mighty God at night, because he was afraid of what everybody else would think about him. And my friend, you know what? He took a step of faith and he got his faith going in the right direction. Jesus said, my friend, you know what? You can have a small amount of faith, but as long as it gets in the right thing, in the right direction, it can begin to grow into something mighty that can move mountains. I'm inviting you to be a person of repentance and saying, no longer am I trusting anything else. Maybe this needs to be my Easter message. Because I'm putting all of my eggs in one basket. And his name is Jesus. I don't have multiple baskets. I don't have multiple gods. I don't have 32 creators. I've got one creator who made me and made you. He's the Most High God, and he has a name because he put on flesh and gave a human name to a man named Jesus. He was God in the flesh, revealing who he is to the world. And my friend, God showed you and I mighty love by coming to us. Even though we may be afraid, we may feel abandoned, and we may feel like we're at the bottom of our game, Jesus came to give you victory, my friend. And you've got to step in to that victory. I love what 1 Corinthians 1:27 says. It says, for God chooses things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chooses things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. In other words, oftentimes, God will take something that appears to be weak in the world's eyes, and he will rise it up to show his mighty hand of power in a person's life and through a person's life. But understand, whatever miracle God does in your life, it is always to show his mighty hand of power. Some of us are praying for a miracle, but we're praying for a miracle in our life because we feel weak, we feel abandoned, and we feel afraid. I'm going to invite you to change for your miracle prayer. Pray that God would do a miracle, not only because you're weak, abandoned, and afraid, but so that, everybody say so that. That's a purpose clause, so that his mighty hand can show up through your weakness to begin to get the rest of the world to put their eyes on his incredible power. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory over your sin and my sin belongs to Jesus. Jesus gave his life to overcome the power of sin in your life, and victory belongs to him. He paid the penalty for you, and he paid the penalty for me. But not only did he pay the penalty, he says you can become an overcomer if you will begin to understand the power through what he did on a cross. He died so we could have victory. But victory isn't just, you know what, being forgiven of our sin or him just to show up and do a miracle so we can have a good day tomorrow. A miracle is to show the power of the living God in our life and through our life. And God doesn't only want to do a victory in individual lives. He wants to do a victory in the church, in his people, the ones who have been called out of darkness into the wonderful light. Just like he did in Gideon's life, his whole aim was to show his glory to the entire nation of Israel so victory could be seen by the other nations of the world. The second thing I wrote down about moving from a victim to being victorious isn't only I need to repent, but I also need to change my thinking. I love what Romans 12:2 says. It says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Again, the New Testament writer here writes to the church at Rome, and he says, look, stop copying the behaviors and customs of this world. You want to achieve victory in your life, then let God transform you into this new person by changing the way you think. Again, throughout the book of Judges, God had to first start changing the way Gideon thought. Gideon thought of himself as a victim. Woe is me. I'm the weakest in the whole clan, and my clan is the weakest among all the nation. I feel abandoned, God. God, I know our ancestor talked about the miracles, but where are you now? I don't see you doing any miracles right here. And he felt like a victim. And God gradually begins to change his thinking by saying, no, you're a mighty hero. You're an overcomer. God began to change his thinking. You're a mighty hero, and I haven't left you, and I haven't abandoned you. I'm right here just like I was for your ancestors. God began to have to change his thinking, and he had to begin to move him in a different direction. And God wants to change our thinking too, but oftentimes we begin to operate out of who we think we should be instead of the strength of who God calls us out to be. And again, if we will begin to operate with who he calls us out to be, I'm talking about from this point forward, when the enemy shows up, you say, I am not who I used to be. I'm not who they said. I'm not who I used to think I am. I am who God says I am. I'm a person created for a purpose. I'm to belong to his church. I belong to his family. I'm called out of darkness into the wonderful light. I have to change my thinking. And again, I was thinking about this a little bit this week. And I think the reason many of our lives is so chaotic is because we don't declutter the closet. Anybody ever opened a closet door that was cluttered up? It's out of order. And I needed you to know, God is a God of order. Matter of fact, the Bible says he took something that was formless and he brought order to it in the creation story. God created order, and God expects our heart and our thoughts to be ordered by who he says that we are. But oftentimes, our minds are like the closet that's all cluttered up with all kinds of thoughts. And today's age, it's the Twitter and Instagram world. And man, everything is so fast. They tell me that it's very difficult kind of in public speaking now to keep people's attention because people's attention span is so cluttered up with short thoughts and, you know, short, just everything's got to be like a tweet or a this. And the reason we can't pay attention is because our minds are so cluttered with what's next. And what God's inviting you to do is change your thinking, get it in order. And so what has to happen is you have to take everything out of the closet sometimes. And you have to get them in the right order when you put them back in. And you have to leave the old stuff, the cluttery stuff out and get the right stuff in order so you can get up in that closet and find something, and that closet can be productive. My friend, your mind is the same way. And if you want to change your thinking and being victorious with who God says you are, I invite you to declutter the closet and begin to get the good things of the word of the Lord in your heart and in your mind. And have the mind of Christ and transform your thinking, and then you will have victory. Otherwise, you'll just have chaos. Chaos doesn't come from God. Chaos comes from the enemy. And some of our minds are so chaotic, and our lives are so chaotic, and it's simply because we're not letting God order our thoughts and order our minds. Repent. Stop running after false things. Change your thinking. Let God rearrange who you are. Stop believing like Gideon did. Oh, I'm the weakest. I'm a product of the circumstance. We're all products of the circumstance. But with God, much is possible, and all things are possible. And lastly, I wrote this, and this is where a lot of people fail the test. It's not only repenting to get the victory in your life. It's not only change your thinking to get the victory in your life. You have to take action. The book of James says, faith without works is dead. In other words, it's just lip service, and it's not life service. So I'm asking you the question today, is your life taking action towards what God has already said as he's begun to rearrange your thinking? Are you walking in being a part of what God is doing in the earth? What God is doing in the earth, he's doing through the local church. Life isn't about being an independent Christian. Life is being a person that is fully dependent upon God, but in community with other people, lifting each other's faith up to be all that God has created us to be. And so we have to take action towards what God has said. Gideon took action, and Gideon saw the victory of the Lord. It's amazing to me because for Gideon to see the victory of God in his nation and in his people, again, Gideon had to trim some things back so the people wouldn't think that it was them doing it. They would understand it was God doing it. The Bible says that they showed up to go to battle against these Midianites, and there were like 32,000 people ready to go to war. And God says, oh, you're not ready yet, Gideon. There's too many of you. We need to trim it back. So what I want you to do is you just go ahead and tell somebody if they're afraid, just stay home. Don't go with you. Bible says 20,000 people quit Gideon that day. See, God was giving them an option. Are you ready to depend on me? Or are you ready to depend on yourself? And again, 20,000 of the 32,000 said, we're ready to go home. Then the Bible says, Gideon, still not ready. I need you to do something else. I need you to step down into the stream. And you pay attention, Gideon, to the ones who reached their hands down into the water. This is all in chapter 7, in case you want to go read it. But go dip your hands into the water because they're going to be thirsty, and see which ones kind of reach down and receive my provision and drink it with their hands, and which ones just are living a life of believing that it's all about them, and they get on their knees and they just start drinking up the river like dogs. That's what it says. It says, Gideon, the ones that just get down and drink it like this from the river, he says, tell them to go home too. Because they're not ready to see what I can do through their life. The Bible says God trimmed that army of 32,000 all the way back to 300 men. For God's mighty hand to show up through Gideon and these few people, God had to decrease some things so people's faith could increase in who he was. And the way this speaks to my heart is lots of times I have to let some things decrease in my life in order for the power of God to increase in my life. I think there was a man named John that kind of said it that way. He said, I must decrease so Jesus can increase. And what this means to me is I have to take action with my life, but I have to step forward, not as it depends on me or you, but as it depends fully on who God is. But God is inviting my faith into the game to step forward and do something with my faith. It's exactly what Gideon did. The Bible says, the Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory. Everybody say victory. Victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home. So Gideon collected the provisions of the ram's horns and the other warriors and sent them home. But he kept the 300 men with him. The Midianite camp was in the valley just below Gideon. That night, the Lord said, Gideon, get up now, take action, go down into the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them. True victory comes with engaging our hearts and our soul and taking action and steps towards what God has said. And my friends, this is what it means. Faith without works is dead. It simply means, you know what? Our faith in God basically becomes tangible, and we take actions and we take steps with our faith to make God known around the world. And so if we're going to have victory as a church, we got to first and foremost know who God is. Secondly, we have to know who he says that we are. And then lastly, we have to make him known among the nations of the world by taking action and taking the good news to Jesus. And my friends, this is a warrior spirit. This is a victorious spirit in Christ Jesus. And tonight we're going to unveil the new name and the new identity, because this is who God has called us to be warriors of the faith, to step in to who he has called us to be people that know God fully, to be people who knows who God says that we are, and stand up and stand strong and make him known into all the world. We are victorious in Christ Jesus. Let me pray for you today. God, I thank you so much for victory. God, not a victory we've accomplished, but a victory you accomplished through your love, through your goodness, through your mercy that you displayed on a cross by shedding the blood of Christ Jesus. God, we're thankful today for victory as you defeated death and you come back from a grave by your mighty hand and by your mighty power. And God, you say that same victory belongs to us if we'll just put faith in who you are. God, if there is one in here today that's a victim of oppression, a victim of the sin nature, God, I pray today that they would just have a little bit of mustard seed of faith to put it in Jesus and begin to watch him work in their heart and in their life and in their mind and do something incredible. God, this is good news for all humanity. This is the gospel. And God, may we not just be hearers of the word, but may we be doers of the word and begin to share this good news around the world in word and deed. My friend, if you've never stepped into God's family and become a mighty warrior in the journey, there's no better opportunity to do that this day. March the 20th, 2022. Just simply repent. Turn from doing life your way and say, God, I'm ready to turn towards doing it your way. Receive the goodness of God in your heart. Invite the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to come in and transform your thinking. Begin to declutter your mind. Invite him to begin to push the old things out and put the new things in. Find intimacy with the Lord this very moment and say, God, I don't want to walk out of here and just continue to clutter everything up. God, I want to find time to spend with you and begin to let you program me to who I need to be. And my friend, then as God begins to do his work and his miracle in your life, commit to this very moment and say, God, I'm ready to take action with my faith in the Jesus I know and do mighty things. And my friend, if you said that prayer of trusting what Jesus has done for you today, just tell God, thank you for the cross, thank you for the grave, and thank you for his Spirit. Because it's a gift that only God can give you. And say, God, I'm ready to take my faith from this point forward and walk with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray this prayer. Amen.